Holster bit twig.
Oh yeah.
It's okay. Not sleeping time.
It's the last session.
The recording is rolling.
All right.
46 is too old.
Yeah, 46. Poor guy. Okay, passage 52. You and the light matter you are personally familiar with is your personal self and reality. And that's about 5% of you. While the other 95%, your eternal self and realization, is dark for you to bring into the light.
So the light is expanding in the universe?
What?
Is the light expanding, or is it just stay constant, 95.5?
I don't know. That's just an approximation anyway.
But do you think that light is expanding? Since we're bringing stuff into the light?
The universe is still accreting and everything is still pretty much in the same ratio that it has been. So, is there more in the light? Yeah, because there's more.
But this says for you that while the 95% your eternal self and realization is dark, for you to bring into the light. So if it's brought into the light, would that at least some part of that become light? Some part of the dark matter become light. Ooh. I think that's your question.
Yeah, but Misty answered it saying it just stays constant because there's more dark too.
Everything.
You know, there's more light than you.
Okay. Passage 53. Dark is the essence, original nature, and greatest portion of you and the universe. Light is the aberration.
What means aberration?
The mistake.
Okay.
Not necessarily a mistake.
Not unusual.
But
the, like the visual.
Part that doesn't
like a
fit.
Deformation.
Yeah.
Not natural.
Yeah. Unnatural, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
What does your dictionary say?
I'm not trying to tell you. Searching.
And it's searching.
Yeah. Oh. I'm on the wrong.
You do have to put the right word in.
No, Angela?
She didn't call in this evening again. She just ate something in the morning. She might be sleeping in.
Now we know.
Okay, 54. Passage 54. In ancient Greece, men were constantly offered a long, uneventful life, or a brief moment of glory in the light, and death on the battlefield. Would that appeal to you?
Well, would it?
Neither one.
What did Andrew?
No, you were the samurai. I thought of you when I read that. That's what I was thinking of when I read that. I wondered. Now I can ask you.
Actually, samurai would absolutely prefer the brief moment in glory of the light.
Okay.
Give it to the post.
55. It seems you are choosing a brief moment in the light, struggling endlessly against the self and life of realization in a realm you truly desire. Why do you suppose that is? For the three things you are most eager to attain, you have left unattended. Yet have left unattended in the dark as spiritual. Is eternal life and a self you truly desire, and to live that realized self and life without discontent and interference?
as an emergent being or an emergent self, more than 5% are in the light.
Why do you say that?
Because that unseen self is now physically expressed.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're just your loner body's in the light. But if you're living your eternal self actively, then even your eternal self is in more in the light.
Yeah.
But its appearance would be just like the loner body.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just saying the expression, the mind stuff that we don't, like when we tell the monk stories, the Superman stories, it's just quite amazing what just pours out of somebody that you wouldn't even know was going on there.
That's why I'm saying it's not really that there's more material.
Oh yeah, no, right.
In the light.
Oh yeah, that's true too. Okay. More awareness. Like, oh, maybe I'm misunderstanding that. Maybe it's still dark. You just should be aware of it.
Yeah, it's just you're expressing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the expressing doesn't bring to light necessarily.
Well, when we talk about bringing to light, in my understanding of it, is that we're talking about bringing it physically into the plane. And just because you're expressing your eternal self in your body doesn't mean that you've brought more material into the physical plane. Isn't that correct? Mm-hmm. So the 95.5 still stands. It doesn't change.
Well, but what about in number 52? It says, well, the other 95%, your eternal self and realization, is dark for you to bring into the light.
Yeah, but just because it's expressing, and I'm let's say,
that's what
you look at me and I look the same, but I'm expressing differently. Mm-hmm. It is brought into the light, and the loner is kind of shoved out of the way. Or, let's say,
Regenerated
into...
I see. The same body is regenerated into a different self and expression.
Right.
Okay.
That's what bringing into the light means.
Right. Because what you do is you genetically modify the code in your body. Mm-hmm. But you still look the same.
I'm a genetically modified organism?
Mm-hmm. You're a GMO.
Yeah.
I like it. An eternally modified organism.
Self.
EMO.
I am
GMO.
EMO.
EMO, what? Glorious modified organism?
Just EMO, emergently modified organism.
I like
EMO.
I'll go with that.
So number 55 poses the question of, well, why do you suppose that is? Choosing a brief moment in the light and struggling endlessly against the self and lack of realization in a realm of truly desire. So why would that be? And at number 56 is saying, it is frequently declared that you began as an unbounded spirit and will at death return to spirit. Well, maybe this is true. But if so, that means you have become something. Merely to become something, mm-hmm. that is nothing again. Mm-hmm. Is that what you truly desire? Is that what your eternal self desires? Interesting.
I love this chapter. It's all very clear. He stated.
Passage 57. Regardless of what others may say, you are not a divine spirit or eternal being creating the body and life you desire. You are a somebody creating the eternal self and life you truly desire, so that no matter where you go, the world that transfigures with you is also the way you would have it to be. Is that too strange and difficult to conceive of? Or even too blasphemous to consider?
I had to read that one like four times before it started sinking in.
Blasphemy is the...
No, the whole passage.
Yeah. Blasphemous.
Blasphemous.
You are not a divine spirit or eternal being creating the body and life you desire. You are somebody creating the eternal self and life you truly desire. Mm-hmm. So that no matter where you go, the world that transfigures with you is also the way you would have it be.
Mm-hmm. See, most people think right there that spiritual being creating the body, the life, whatever. This is you're the body, self, well, somebody creating the eternal self. It's backwards.
Yes.
Right. I had to read it four times. I knew something was about it, but I read it like, oh, now I got it. And yet, this eternal self that I'm bringing to life is the ultimate nature of me. Still and all. I'll take that to be a yes.
Passage 58. A fulfilling and satisfying self in life depends on communing light physical matters you have come to depend upon almost completely with dark matters you have almost entirely neglected. Or the concept of the eternal self and life you truly desire must be realized and communioned with your personal self so your abiding resplendent self can be emergent. Passage 59. Not only is there a dark self and universe you barely sense or realize, there is also a quantum universe all around you and beneath you, which fully supports the self and world you believe you perceive and know.
Is that the virtual reality? A quantum?
Quantum doesn't make it virtual.
Oh, okay.
Just makes it small.
Just makes it very tiny.
Makes it what?
Very tiny.
A quantum?
Passage 60. In deconstructing universe to data information mind, see the next section, you will penetrate the quantum world of the universe more deeply and thoroughly than most people have ever done before, and to continue this quest for your eternal self, you must see your eternal self through imaginative minding eyes. For just as the natural world is founded in the quantum world,
on the quantum world
and depends on quantum matters for its continued existence, your awareful continued existence depends on imaginative minding the eternal self you truly desire and being that today.
How can she be underlying with an eraser?
It's not an eraser.
It's a grease pencil.
Yellow grease pencil.
You know, so, Bat, are you feeling like you have to kind of like pause and after you read these?
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, right?
And it's, yes.
It's like a lot of...
It's so informative information.
Yeah?
It's so
this light
full.
Is not so
I really
good,
got a lot of this chapter kind of explaining like in detail a lot of the stuff that he's been saying. I felt like it was well said and well organized and well fleshed out.
You will see that tomorrow. Very well. Ouch.
number 61.
No, he's taking it in.
No, I think I got a question, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay, you're formulating a question over there.
So you must see your eternal self through imaginative minding eyes. I think my problem is that I'm trying to put my thinking on it into language. And I think what this means is that seeing my eternal self is simultaneously imaginatively minding it, rather than imaginatively minding it and then somehow seeing it. I'm still confused.
If seeing comes first, then you're trying to cause it.
It's an instantaneous thing. That's why when you're setting it up as a
direct perception.
Yeah, it's not I'm doing imaginative minding and then I get. It's
simultaneously taking place.
Yeah.
Okay, then I got it.
It's one word again. Yes.
Passage 61, it may surprise you to learn that the dark light quantum universe exists and functions only by reacting, by unending random, meaning not intentional, processes and transfigurations, not by rules and laws, nor by purposes or objectives or intentions. All thoughts and standards of the universe are of human beings, not of the universe.
Mm-hmm. That kind of like, 61.
See, passage 62, in deconstructing molecules to atoms, and particles, we passed over the question of whether atoms and particles are actually real things or constructs of imagination.
You certainly did. I never thought of that one before.
But in the 1920s, this was a vital question. For at that time, Heisenberg, one of the founders of quantum theory, declared that if a particle is a real thing, then you can certainly know where that thing is in space and know how it is moving. But in the quantum world, though you can know where a particle is and how it is moving, you cannot know both at the same time, which seems to indicate the uncertainty of the quantum world.
A quantum does have a mass, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look closely at Heisenberg's uncertainty, and you will see that this deals only with the uncertainty of knowing, not with the uncertainty of the quantum world. Actually, since you cannot simultaneously know the position and acceleration of a moving car, that same uncertainty of knowing exists in the natural world as well. I never thought about that before, about the position and acceleration of a moving car. They're both distinctly separate measures.
Not only that, if you didn't have something relative to look out the window to measure it against, you wouldn't even know you were moving.
Since everything and happening in the quantum has an equivalent in the natural world, when in 1900 Max Planck introduced the theory of how all things in the quantum work, including energy, that they exist as discrete packages of stuff called quanta, this changed everything, for the nature of life and the world around you was no longer continuous as everyone sensed and believed. life and the world around you exist in separate and different quanta, so tiny that things seem to be a oneness or seem continuous or at least seem interconnected, but this is not true. But no one was really listening at the time in the 1900s. 65. Even Einstein, though he had a leading role in developing understandings of the quantum world, despised this seeming uncertainty, declaring adamantly, God does not play dice with the universe. And these ideas persisted and expanded. Einstein himself satisfied himself that what happens in the quantum world stays in the quantum world. Fortunately, this is not true, for the quantum world is the essence and foundation of everything around you. 66. Actually, only a plenary world and universe composed of quantum packages of data, information, mind could possibly be as it is and also fulfill the promise to be as you are.
Why is that?
To be to you as you are.
To fulfill the promise to be to you as you are.
So why is it that only a plenary world and universe composed of quantum packages of data, information, mind could possibly be? I mean, I've taken it that a universe is so plenary that it can be as it is and be as you are. But why is it why the part about composed of quantum packages of data, information, mind? The only is just that I wasn't sure about.
Guys going to have a staring contest or what?
I was looking at him. I was watching what she was doing over there.
Me? I'm looking for the word plenary. Is it plenary or
plenary? So Roger, why is it the only the quantum package?
Because you can rearrange quanta infinitely however you want it to rearrange it.
Okay.
Same way as I write in paragraph. I mean, in
passages.
And the passages are composed of declarations. Each is a quanta in the same way I can rearrange them any way I want to.
Okay, so this thing about, then that's interesting to me because I was just assuming that the plenary world is just, I perceive it that way. But by
if
being
things
able to,
were continuous, you couldn't do that.
But by being able to rearrange it any
if
way I want.
If things were interconnected, you couldn't do that.
Right. But by being able to rearrange it, it is actually
by the fact that everything is individual quanta, you can rearrange things as you truly desire them to be.
Wow. Okay. That's significantly different than I was perceiving that, so thank you. I thought it was just a perception thing. Got it.
Number 67. Maybe you shouldn't trust your senses about life. And certainly not what you believe and language about life. Number 68, the religion of God and oneness and death is no longer valid. Actually, it never was. You don't have to be concerned about this complete change of life. Since Niels Bohr,
because
did I say since?
Yep.
Wow. Somebody else want to read?
I got what you're saying.
Because yeah, Niels Bohr showed that the quantum world only coalesces as a material reality when observed, which means that reality cannot be separated from the observer, and is as you are. So you see. Actually, there is no uncertainty in your reality, is there? Because you certainly know yourself, don't you? and maybe you don't really know yourself at all, and uncertainty exists for you, sorrow. Number 70, isn't it possible, even probable, that your pains, problems, and ailments in life, and your doubts, grief, and disappointments are all because you don't know yourself and the real story of yourself?
Well, I think that's entirely possible, don't you?
I agree.
Number 71, since you know all things relative to yourself, and you particularize and personalize the quantum world and random happenings to be as you desire happenings to be, such that the world is to you as you are to the world around you, there can be no real uncertainty in your quantum world or your natural world. If you know the real story of yourself and life, not the language myths presented by science, religion, and philosophy.
You can't fool Mother Nature.
Number 72. Yeah. If you can't fool Mother Earth, the world responds to your actions, not to who you declare you are. So your declaration must be actively lived. Are you living the eternal self you truly desire? Remember, as you choose and live the eternal meaning and purpose you truly desire, the universe reacts accordingly, and that is the universe, and of the meaning and purpose of the world around you. Passage 73. Though you don't seem to realize it, the universe is still raining quantum packets of data information, frequently referred to as random or unintentional happenings, for you to coalesce as the particular and personal self and world you truly desire. Through not discontenting yourself, or as the world would you have created for yourself, knowingly or unknowingly, through discontent.
Why is this one not data information mind?
What part?
Because it's talking about the universe.
Okay.
And it's raining. Okay, number 74. Before it rained the universe, only dynamic data existed, which appeared here, then, there, just a sec, which appeared here, then, there, without moving from here to there, and without traversing the intervening space, just as particles appear and move in the quantum world today. And since this quantum world is the active foundation of the natural world, everything that occurs in the quantum world has an equivalent action in the physical world around you and even beyond. For these worlds are all empowered by the like processes, not by rules or laws, nor by a god. Number 75.
What is dynamic data?
It said there, I think. Dynamic data existed, which appeared to be here, then there, without moving from here to here. I don't know, maybe it's not defined. But I took it to be that way. Mm-hmm. Dynamic, meaning appeared without moving.
Okay.
You don't have to believe what I say, though.
No. Close enough.
Okay.
Number 75. Mind is data information, and minding is imaginatively assembling separate data information in new and different ways, even in ways you have never ever seen or experienced before. And though this seems a lot like thinking, it is not. For thinking merely assembles data as words on an underlying pattern of language, which limits and distorts your thinking and awareness of events and occurrences, and even of yourself and all of life. Number 76, freely, randomly, assembling data into information is the way of the universe. Thinking, living, expressing in accordance with the underlying pattern of language is not in accordance with the universe.
That's interesting.
Interested to hear what the dictionary says about dynamics.
Nothing against you, we're just not particularly interested in what the dictionary says. Because I thought it would be. Oh, go ahead then.
It's kind of interesting. So anyway, it says the science which treats of matter and motion or mechanics, sometimes restricted to kinetics.
Number 77, you live an emergently becoming self in life in an entirely different world than you ever imagined or have ever been told. Number 78, you did not begin at birth, nor was that a continuation of you. You became or transfigured a new being in a completely different set of similar self,
yet
similar self and life. A completely different, yet similar self and life. In much the same way as you return to eternal existence in dreams every night, only to be awakened to your usual self and life each morning because you remember your usual self and life.
Be interesting to think if you woke up, if you went to sleep and then you woke up someplace else, would you remember the same thing? In other words, would you remember your life as it was? Because if every time you went to sleep, you woke up someplace else.
I've often thought this life is real only as long as you keep waking up.
So it's only that you hold the image.
Because if you woke up somewhere else, you'd swear this was just a passing dream or something, if that was real.
Number 79. Your body's adorning you to life will fade and fall away and not continue. And you know that. So why do you try endlessly to continue what will surely fade away and give so very little time and attention to that which will endure? For as you cannot stay alive without sleep and dreaming, you cannot remain personally alive without your eternal abiding self, which, by the way, is both greater and lesser than you. For if that which is greater than is not also lesser than which it is greater than, it is not greater than.
We spent a little bit of time on that one.
I never could say that by heart. Nice that it stays here.
We're just going to keep calling him Kathy. Until he learns to read.
Somebody else want to read?
I can understand you want a break.
Yes.
I've done my time.
I'll want me to read for a minute?
Yay!
Just read the words, that's all.
Well, when you get tired, it's, yeah, you start losing it.
Say I'd read for a
minute. You get old.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm creating as I go.
Yeah, right.
just as a comment, this was, you know, this thing about your body's adorning to life will fall away and not continue, and you know that. So why do you spend so much time on it? There's like people I know in my running group, all they do is work on their body. That's their whole life. And I kind of feel like, or their house or their money or something. And I kind of have, like, recently I thought about, it's like getting on an airplane. You're going to take a long trip somewhere, but you spend all your time making sure you got the best runway possible. And then you take off. And then what? You've no idea because you spent your whole life building the runway. It is interesting to me that so many people spend their life that focused.
That's what happens when you choose people from honor.
From where?
You choose people from honor.
Runners? Yeah, physical oriented people. Yeah, I find it everywhere. I just happen to be particularly interested in the runners because even if you're not eternal aware, you know the body is going to deteriorate. But they invest everything in that.
Well, they're trying to keep it as,
trying to slow it down as much as possible.
I understood. Just slowing down the sinking of the Titanic as much as possible.
And runners have a
feels good.
Constant thought about that.
Thought about what?
Death.
Running out of
slowing
time?
Slowing down the deterioration.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Always are worried about death.
That's true. I have found that. That's true.
All right.
Number 80. As the universe creates random events and conditions for you to particularize and personalize as you desire, as your body was made for you to particularize and personalize to suit you, and even to recreate as you desire, and as your relationships are random for you to particularize to suit you, and as your relationships are random for you to particularize and personalize as special and intimate or other as you desire, you also transfigured to a random self and life to a particularize and personalize as eternal or not as you desire.
Anybody
want
one of those big?
No, yeah, a lot of information there. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of that intersection.
Okay, we'll just keep going then. 81. Your awakening each morning is to a random self and life for you to continue anew or continue as usual.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's what you were just saying. And ignored. Continuing anew.
Why have you always
chosen to continue as usual and ignored continuing anew. You say you want to continue, yet you struggle endlessly to learn, grow, develop, and change while hanging on to not changing. Why do you suppose that is?
New things are not familiar.
You need bigger circles.
Okay.
82. It seems you have languaged yourself into a prison of familiar things, experiences, and actions, and a familiar self. Why do you suppose this is? That is. Especially considering that most of that is not desirable, and certainly not what you want to live and live eternally.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, we've got a real smile on Andrew's face now.
No, happy I'm just saying. Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what I'd want to do with my birthday anyway. Most people, I can't get to do this kind of stuff. So. Anyway, but no, it's just, like I'm saying, this chapter lays it out step by step, I think, so well thought out.
Well, as I said, these ones on religion are my favorite part.
You said that?
Yeah.
I thought I said that.
Well, you did too.
You have pretty good taste for a Leo.
Says another Leo.
Yeah, right.
The mine went back and wrote it.
You did.
It wasn't in there originally.
He did. And I just came out of...
That's right. I saw that because all the numbering had changed, so I just downloaded them all again. But this is absolutely, I think, some of the best stuff.
That's what I said to him after I finished typing. I said, that is the best stuff that I've ever typed.
Yeah, right? Because this, like, for most people, like, who have this in just a few, 60, 100 pages, whatever, it's a really good job of explaining what is actually going on in ways that most people haven't thought about. It's all here. And this is like what's going on. You call it religion, and yeah, why not? I mean, this is what religion should do. It should inform you about what's going on.
No. Religion is there to tell you how to live your life.
Yeah, that's a
so
good
that
point.
You glorify them.
Yeah, right? But this is more, yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting, an aside.
Mm-hmm.
As we were going over to Hilo the other day, and we were listening to this talk thing on the radio, and it was talking about the reason why, in this guy's opinion, why religions formed and continue on. And the biggest part of it was because that's how the elite keep the less elite in line.
Yeah. Right, I've heard that.
That's the way it works.
Is religion a big thing up there in Canada? Elite.
Yes, a massa. Yeah.
Not in a formal sense.
Like but there's a like the conservatives that, aren't like the ones down here that pray and thank God and all that.
It's a small part of the conservatives in Canada. Yeah, a small part. They're there, but it's a small part. Probably 25-30% at most.
Yeah, well, it's a small part in our country too. They're just very vocal.
What I'm surprised at is the number of people from my high school that I grew up with who are very Jesus and Catholic oriented. I went to Catholic school, but I thought most of us left it behind. These people are actually keeping that fire burning. I'm really surprised at that.
Well, you got to think about it's just a small number of people that go to Catholic or private and religious schools to start with.
But actually, right, since I've grown up, the number of people going to Mass has reduced a lot. But there's still people keeping
it. Actually, they say that recently it's been increasing.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me. In times of uncertainty, people go back to what they know.
Exactly.
Like waking up in the morning, instead of starting new, which you don't know, you go back to what you do know, which is familiar, so you can get your bearings and be sane.
So when things start getting tenuous in any way, then mm-hmm. they're going to flock back to the religions and things that somehow they find secure their
there's a
somehow.
Constancy in that, yeah? It feels familiar. It's like, okay, the world is not completely unhinged.
I mean,
here comes the collection
basket. We were indoctrinated when we were small.
Yes.
You know, it makes a difference.
So what I remember Roger saying this on a call one time, what I did the next day was when I got...
Saying this what?
Start the next day something anew.
He said that?
Right here. Oh, this basic idea, right?
Well, his favorite line was that one from Alice in Wonderland.
Imagine impossible things every day.
I'll do 10 of them or something before breakfast, how does that go?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Three of them before breakfast?
The impossible things before breakfast.
See, and that's what I feel like with this chapter when it was talking earlier about you have to, even your beliefs that your beliefs are founded on. That's what I've really started thinking about lately. And
well,
so
you
gotta I feel
shape
like I'm thinking
up your
impossible.
Foundation and decide what is the foundation that you really want to build your life on. And that's basically what we're talking about.
Yeah. And when you start doing that, you start being able to think about impossible things. Just
right, but
your,
if you keep yourself in the same confines of what you've always thought in the same box, then it's always going to be the same stuff coming out.
Yeah. But in all the time I've been with Forever Living, I really see now how much I've been doing that, hanging on to my old stuff, not really trying to change it, you know? Now I'm actually starting to change it. I'm experiencing something different.
So it surprises me.
So what I was saying was, so to fully embrace that thought was when I woke up in the morning, I said, okay, I'm going to do this anew. So I changed my voice. I changed the way I walk. Mm-hmm. I decided to eat something different that I never really cared to eat. I started just trying to think of all these things I could just do in my physical body world that were something completely different from my normal. And I did that over and over for like about a week. And then it just became a habit. And then now it seems like I've liberated myself to kind of not always just go to my pattern.
I was aware of the synapses.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, if you just keep interrupting a pattern, pretty soon it becomes randomized, and then you can establish a new pattern if you so desire.
I'm doing that in different ways. You know who people I find who don't change anything? Doctors and engineers.
Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, just the ones I found. Dr. Tim, who we talked about, he literally lives the same day over and over every day.
Oh, it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah, he's on the same. He's on the road on the same time. He gets to work on the same time. He eats the dinner the same place. He eats different things for dinner. But engineers, I'm also told, they don't really. Well, not true.
I can see it in engineers, but you know, in the medical world, things always get, in my opinion, so shook up that you never. I never had the same day twice in my practice.
Okay,
couldn't
so
even
I,
make it happen.
I would, yeah, you're right. Good point. I was thinking of in the more limited sphere. A doctor, I know.
Yeah, there we go. Because I was going to say, okay. I never had the same day twice.
But it was explained to me that, like, because of, they have to be so precise. Engineers, or they just know certain things work, and they don't really.
Well, I understand that
risk.
With engineers, you know, engineers, librarians, you know, some of those people that things have to be meticulously in the same place and done a certain way in order for things to operate.
Jim Webb
is right in there.
Really, I thought Jim was sort of an out there thinker.
No, he goes so far and then he refuses.
He hits walls.
Stick his heels in, and he won't go any further.
And he just will not. Go beyond that wall.
Oh, really? I wish he was listening in on this.
Yeah, he just threw a thing at us.
Stop the show.
As long as we talk within the walls, that's okay. We talk outside the walls.
He'll go any place you want to within his walls. No problem.
Okay,
but as soon as you push him up against that wall, because we kept pushing him, up against his wall, he doesn't hardly even call anymore.
Oh, that's interesting. So I like to have a stop the show moment since, as Percent pointed out, something hit the roof as we were talking about that. Let's just sort of take note that we were all, what we were talking about. Maybe it applies to all of us.
Well, I think it does apply to everybody in some manner, some form.
Yep.
All of us have walls in different places. Some of us have bigger spaces than others, but all of us have walls.
I don't have walls. I have fences.
Fences with holes in them?
No. Privacy fences. They're solid.
Good for you.
You know where the gates are.
I keep moving them around.
That's good. Oh!
Missed all that good stuff, huh?
No, we caught it. Right at the end, the punchline. Gosh, Susan, what happened next?
All right, let's see here.
Start the show.
A3.
Considering all the advantages of continuing anew, maybe just the idea of a new configure conjures up distasteful images and feelings of endings. It seems you are fearful of endings, at least of yourself. Therefore, are you willing to concede the possibility that you can become or continue anew without endings? If so, then becoming or continuing anew, which is transfiguration or supplanting directly or through emergent, is actually uninterrupted existence that moves beyond previous actions, information, experiences, and patterns as its source. Might be just right for you. For in this, you are you, but you are not you. You are a completely new and different you. In this, you continue, but you don't continue. You are emergent.
Can you replay that whole thing again, please?
Sure.
I got stuck on one sentence and missed all the rest.
All right, we're going to start again. 83. Considering all the advantages of continuing anew, maybe just the idea of anew conjures up distasteful images and feelings of endings. Mm-hmm. It seems you are fearful of endings, at least of yourself. Therefore, are you willing to concede the possibility that you can become or continue anew without endings? If so, then becoming or continuing anew, which is transfiguration or supplanting directly or through emergent, is actually uninterrupted existence that moves beyond previous actions, information, experiences, and patterns as its source. Maybe just right for you. For in this, you are you, but you are not you. You are a completely new and different you. In this, you continue, but you don't continue.
No,
you are emergent, but you don't continue. You continue, but you don't continue. You are emergent.
All right.
An emergent is born. Hmm. 84. Emergent is that which exists in the whole that does not exist in the constituent parts. As an illustration, the properties of water, such as wetness, reflection, refraction, surface tension, flowability, and as a good solvent, all exist in the whole that is water. But these properties do not exist in the constituents of hydrogen or oxygen. Yet by combining hydrogen and oxygen, water, and all of these properties are emergent. In fact, you cannot keep water and its properties from being emergent. That's how consistent and reliable the universe is for you. In fact, like water, eternal life is a property that exists in the communion of personal and abiding you, but does not exist in personal or abiding alone. In combining hydrogen and oxygen, you don't cause water as the properties of water. They appear without any effort on your part. In the same way, eternal life will be emergent in the communion.
I just want to read the answer. Mm-hmm. Just myself. Okay. Okay. Oh, okay.
Do you have a question?
Just rereading it to make sure I don't have a question. Oh. Yeah. So I'm reading this. I knew this was something. So in fact, like water, eternal life is a property that exists in the communion of personal and abiding, but does not exist in personal or abiding alone. Okay. Yeah, I understand it. Just.
Right. 85. If you understand becoming anew as living your personal self and life as an eternal abiding being, which is an emergent existence that is not limited to previous matters for its source, then certainly you realize that your becoming anew is far greater, more expansive, and extensive than immortality, and finer than unconditional love and forgiveness.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. You realize that your becoming anew is far greater, more expansive, and extensive than immortality. Hell of a statement.
Mm-hmm. Not limited to previous matters.
Mm-hmm.
No. 86. In becoming anew, there is no obligation to be trusting or faithful, or to earn any form of merit. And unlike God's grace, becoming anew can never be withheld from you, for the universe never prevents your transfiguring and becoming anew. Transfiguring is a process of changing the nature, character, appearance, and or function of something. And becoming anew is moving from one state to a different state without endings or beginnings. Only by constantly becoming can you vanquish endings or death. And the time to become anew is right now. Otherwise, you will hold tightly to your memories to continue as usual. And in that, grieve and discontent yourself as usual as well.
Can you pause for just a second there? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Living your personal self and life as an eternal abiding being offers unlimited richness and intimacy and far greater knowledge and realizations without discontenting yourself. You can be in an excited state and a not excited state at the same time. You can be simultaneously angry and joyous, equally personal and eternal, and in a simultaneous realization of continuing, not continuing. That's what I feel like a lot of times.
What?
I feel like that paragraph a lot of times.
Oh, simultaneously more than going on?
Sad and happy, blah, 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 you know.
Oh, that's interesting. No, I don't really know.
You know what I'm saying?
Really simultaneous, but it's very continuing.
89. It is reasonable to declare that supplanting, transfiguring, and becoming anew is not changing. It is communing two states simultaneously without their opposing or even interfering.
Okay.
Your personal self and eternal self are constituents of an emergent, illuminated self called resplendent. And though a composed personal self and eternal self may deteriorate and decompose, your resplendent self, much like the emergent properties of water, is not composed and does not decompose. From this, certainly, you can understand that though you, as a body or personal self or eternal self, do not continue, and you do not continue as a spiritual being either, as an emergent resplendent being, you become eternally anew. Though it seems that thoughts are things, that they are the cause of things in the universe, this is not true. For thoughts alone are insufficient to cause things or for the universe to react to.
What about thinking become rich? Okay.
You have to act on that.
Yeah, I know. I was just kidding. That was a thing.
All things of the universe are emergent. From the impact of random constituents, or in the case of sentient beings, from the impact of chosen constituents. Your privilege in life is actively and physically choosing the constituents you truly desire, and the rest, following a reliable and consistent process of the universe, is emergent, uncaused.
You read that book, As a Man Thinketh?
What?
Remember that book, As a Man Thinketh? You don't remember As a Man Thinketh?
I heard of it, but I don't have it.
Oh, I was just curious. Yeah. I guess it's just bullshit. It's As a Man Acteth. Yeah. Right? So he becomes.
But yeah, if you act upon you think, then that's the way you are.
Right. Got it. This makes that abundantly clear.
All things of the universe are emergent. Emergent is the continuing function of the universe. It has long been declared that all composed matters deteriorate and decompose, which indicates, through entropy, all systems, aggregations, and wholes sink to their lowest level of stability. Any higher level of composed matters must be maintained. And this, of course, applies to your body. But fortunately, not to you. For everything you are as a resplendent being is truly emergent, not caused or composed. The well-being and duration of your body's life can be maintained by this process as well. Normally, your body's cells divide and replace only about 50 times. Approaching this limit,
what
your body...
Ninety-five.
You got ahead of me. Normally, your body cells divide and replace only about 50 times. Approaching this limit, your body cells age and weaken, and finally die, and your body weakens and dies with them. This limit of 50 divisions occurs because with each division, the tips of the chromosomes of dividing cells become shorter and shorter until those chromosomes can no longer function properly. And as this dysfunction spreads, 80% of your body's aging follows this aging of cells. Oh, wait. Adding new DNA to the ends of chromosomes enables cells to divide and replicate many more times than normal, and repair the shortening process will extend your body's life and well-being.
So where can I get some of these extenders?
Reliving your emergent cell.
Uh-huh.
So is this the same as the telomeres?
So you have to live longer chromosomes.
Yeah.
Not running.
Not running? I thought that's how I stimulated my longer
chromosomes.
Chromosomes
that are important.
Mm. Mm. Right, right, right. Yeah, that's true.
Your body has a natural enzyme that stimulates and activates this process of adding DNA to the ends of shortened chromosomes.
Oh, explain this.
Enzymes are essential for the normal functioning and development of your body, but they are unstable and require very particular conditions for optimum activity, including the absence of specific inhibitors. Otherwise, they are easily inactivated.
Okay, so I'm going to call it there. Because 100 is an easy number to remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
And
we're just getting started.
I thought you were just getting warmed up here. Wow, really? This is new shit. I haven't
just
read this far.
Just think what you have to look forward to tomorrow.
Wow.
Woo!
Continuing to be
stay tuned for the next exciting episode of...
And wait!
Extending your chromosomes.
But wait! And so, you know.
Yeah, what? One of those commercials. But wait!
There's more. If you order now, you get two chromosomes for the price of one.
Maybe there are three.
Actually, they're so cheap. You could get three, but we're only going to give you two.
This offer only. Telomere extenders. But you see the number in the corner? It's counting down. You only have so many seconds left.
And we'll throw in a box
that's
of
really
chromosome curlers.